What we find ourselves in an interesting time of the Jewish calendar. We are coming off of what I hope was a lovely, inspiring, meaningful, joyful Purim, and we are turning our heads towards the holiday of Pesach and getting ready for Sedarim and Chametz and things like that. There is a often discussed topic of the link between Pesach and Purim, or Purim and Pesach. This is what I want to learn together this morning. I want to share with you a very nice, beautiful piece from Rav Chaim Friedlander. Rav Chaim Friedlander was if not one of the primary Talmidim of Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler, who was the famed founder of the Gateshead Kollel and the Gateshead Seminary and the Mashkiach in England, who would later go on to become the Mashkiach Ruchani in the Panovich Yeshiva in Bnei Brak. And one of his primary Talmidim, one of his primary disciples, was a very, very deep thinker and a very profound Talmud Chacham. His name is Rav Chaim Friedlander. Rav Chaim Friedlander has a number of beautiful Svarim on Emunah, Hashkafa, holidays called Sifsei Chaim. I want to learn today a short piece from the Sifsei Chaim, and B'ezras Hashem, with your help, try to expand upon this idea, which I think is a critical, critical message between the times of Purim and Pesach, and also, I think, a critical message for the times that you find ourselves in during this time of Jewish history. Let's begin. Purim v'Pesach ha-meshutav shebehem ha-yeshua ma-Hashem levado. From Purim to Pesach, what is the common theme between these two holidays? Says the Gemara in Maseches Tainis, Mishenichnas Adar marbin b'simcha. When Adar comes in, we increase our rejoicing. This was a Gemara before it was a song. And Rashi there on that Gemara asked the question, why is it this time period, why is it the time of Adar is such a joyful and a happy time period? Perush Rashi, Yimei Nisim Hailu Yisrael, Purim v'Pesach. These are days of miracles, because it's a time of Purim, it is a time of Pesach. And many people do not know this Rashi, and they think that the joy and the celebration of Purim and the joy and the celebration of Adar is because Purim is a very happy time. And explain to Rashi, that's not true. Really, this whole time period, Adar and Nisan, is really a time of joy and a time of celebration, because they both have miracles associated with them. And this is really the point we want to understand. Why is it that we're asking this question now between Purim and Pesach? There are other holidays that follow other holidays. Nobody asks the question, why is it that Chanukah follows Sukkot? Nobody gives a shir on that topic. And why is it that, you know, Tisha B'Av follows Shavuos? Nobody discusses that idea. But clearly, we see from Rashi that there is an intrinsic link in the setup of the time period, that we go first from Purim, and then we go into Pesach. Kolomar, mitzvah sasimcha nimshechas ad Pesach. The mitzvah of rejoicing goes all the way until Pesach. Ki yisodam v'hatzad hashav v'shal Pesach u'purim him hanes v'agula shiru behem. Says Rashi, well, one common denominator is that both had miracles. Purim had a miracle, and Pesach had a miracle. Different miracles, as we'll discuss, but miracles nonetheless. Kamosh Amru Chazal, it says in the Gemara in Megillah, Sha'anu Osim Purim Ba'adar Beis. We actually, since we are in a leap year, this is most relevant. We celebrate Purim not in the first Adar, but in the second Adar. Why not do it in the first Adar? Generally, we say in Halacha that mitzvah shebal yadcha al tach mitzana. If you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah at hand right away, don't postpone it for another time. So when the first Adar comes, why don't we celebrate Purim in the first Adar, if we have the opportunity to celebrate at that time? So the Gemara says, "Kidei lismoch geulas Purim legulas Pesach," because we purposely want to have the story and the celebration of the redemption of Purim together with the story and the celebration of the redemption of Pesach. We want them to be twins, Adar Sheni and then Nisan. Amnam michad yeshchila kabamos hanisim. But you all know that there's a very big difference between the miracles. What is the difference? What's the main difference between the miracle of Purim and the miracle of Pesach? What? One is hidden and one is revealed. Purim neis nistar, u'Pesach neis nigla. U'ula meidach ish gamli mudim meshutafim benisei Pesach u'Purim. So you'll say, Rabbi Rice, they're two different miracles, they're two different holidays. They're not the same at all. But says Rabbi Friedlander, that's not true. really, there is a theme that we find both in Pesach and both in Purim that is critical for every single Jew to know, no matter what is going on. One of the things that are foundational that combine Pesach and Purim together is Hu halimud shehayeshua ki rak mehashem yisparach. The major theme of Pesach that is similar to the major theme of Purim is that any saving, any Yeshua, any salvation that comes to a person of the Jewish people is only from Hashem. The Am Yisrael einu me'urav b'tzura pu'ila b'Yeshua. V'zem miyachudo shel Am Yisrael shuhu meivin u'margish shuhu chaser onim b'li ezus Hashem Yeshua asal. The Jewish people must know and understand that we are always lacking without the assistance and without the help of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol pu'ula se Yeshua eina ela me'ito yisparach. And any saving, any benefit that will come when we are be'ez tzar in a time of difficulty will only come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu and no one else. Amnam. V'vadai Mordechai v'Esther pa'alu begufam b'yin neis purim. Now you'll tell me, obviously, Mordechai and Esther did their hishtablis. They did work on Purim. Leich kenosis kol Yehudim. Go gather the Jewish people together. You have to make sure you fast, and you're not going to eat, and you're not going to drink, and you have to daven, and go to the children, and learn Torah. The Midrashim and the Psukim are replete with all the hishtablis that Mordechai and Esther did in order to bring about this miracle. Esther nichnas elah ha-melech pa'amim achadosu Mordechai pa'al be'am Yisrael. Esther went to the king. Mordechai went to beseech on behalf of Am Yisrael, lachzir b'tshuva, to get them to come and to do tshuva. Ulamarosos b'tfila al hanisim. We actually see this clearly in the structure of the tefillah of al hanisim. Muskara Mordechai v'Esther kidbederach agav. Pay attention to what the author of al hanisim, how he structures the mentioning of Mordechai and Esther. He says, "Biyamei Mordechai v'Esther, in the days of Mordechai and Esther, lomar shahanes hayamura shira biyameyam besulo." What does al hanisim say? It was in the days of Mordechai and Esther that this miracle occurred. It doesn't say what? That Mordechai and Esther caused the miracle. It doesn't say they brought about the miracle. It's just framing a historical point in time. When did the miracle of Purim occur? It happened in the days of Mordechai and Esther. But it's not because of Mordechai and Esther. Es HaYeshua Pala Kadosh Baruch Levado. The ultimate Yeshua, the salvation only comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu alone. K'mo she'omrim, v'yatabarachem acharabim. Hafartes atzaso, v'kilkaltes machshavaso, v'shavosa. Every language of Al-Nisim is directed towards Hashem. You did this. You brought the Yeshua. You saved us. Everything was because of you, Hashem. V'achein neshadluso shal Mordechai ha'isa shalot tireh ha'yeshua ketotza mehishtablis tevi'is. And therefore, the work of Mordechai was to make sure that the Yeshua, the salvation, did not appear to come from his effort. Who mitzuvah al Esther, he tells Esther, Lavo el hamelech lehischanein lo ulevakesh melefanav alima. Go before the king and supplicate before him and ask on behalf of your nation. And what does Esther tell him? Vaninu lekresi lavo el hamelech zeshel shim yom. I have not come before the king for 30 days. Im kain, mistama od ma'at yikreli. What is going on in the conversation in Mordechai and Esther? Mordechai says you have to go to the king because you have to go ask on behalf of the Jewish people and to save the Jewish people and to ask them to stop the decree. And Mordechai, Esther says, I haven't been there in 30 days. Okay? And why is that so significant? So explain the Rishon, explain the Mefarshim on the Megillah that Esther was saying the following to Mordechai. Mordechai, I don't understand. You told me, when is the decree against the Jewish people scheduled for? It's for Adar. Adar, yeah, and what day is it right now? It's Erev Pesach, it's Nisan. So you're telling me, Mordechai, that Haman is decreed to kill the Jewish people in a year from now, right? We have a year until we have to worry about this. The king hasn't seen me in a month. He's not so interested in seeing me right now. So why can't we just wait until he calls me? Right? Wouldn't that be better? Why am I putting myself in danger? He's clearly going to be interested to see me at some point. So I'll wait another 2 weeks, another month, 3 months. Nothing's happening right now. So why do I have to go do something foolish, walk into the king's palace where the guards are going to turn me into salami and take care of me on the spot? Why can't I just wait until he calls me? Wouldn't that have been the logical, normal, practical thing for Esther to have done? If you just wait, we have a year until this is going to be solved. So we'll take care of it next week. We'll put it on the calendar. I promise you, Mordechai will get to it. And therefore, Madua Yishikanas take of Alamelech. V'ma'od she'agzer nigzav l'chodesh Adar haba. It's for a whole other year. V'im omdim b'chodesh Nisan. V'yishod achar ha'chodesh. There's 11 months ad shetaruch ha'gzev l'totzav ha'poel. Until anything's actually going to happen. So stop hacking me at Shainik and leave it alone. And we'll deal with it when the time comes. Chazar Mordechai b'shalachla. So Mordechai says back to Esther. Al tadami b'nashich l'meis ha'melech mikol yudim. Ki macharish ha'charish ha'meis ha'zos. Ruach v'as revach atzal yamod l'yudim b'macham acher. What are you talking about? This is not the way we're supposed to act. HaYeshua tagia b'chol mikra. The Yeshua is going to come. Hashem is running the floor. Hashem is in charge. It does not depend on your hishtadlus that the Yeshua is going to come. This is not about acting in a natural way. The opposite, says Mordechai. On the contrary, go into the king's palace when he does not expect you to be there. Even though there's danger in going to the king's palace and you might be killed. And daven for your nation. Mordechai did this because he wanted to be clear to Esther and the whole world that it's only Hashem who brings the Yeshua. If you're going to say, well, we have to make sure that this congressman has his offices open at this time of this date, we have to make sure that we're going to go before at this time, we're going to have this meeting over here, and it makes more sense and logical. Says Mordechai, it doesn't have to make sense. If we really believed that Hashem is the one who's going to bring the Yeshua, then you do it because that's what you have to do. You do the basic ishtadlus, you go before the king, and Hashem will take care of the rest. It needs to be clear that it comes from Hashem. Ve'Esther haisa talmida ne'amana l'Mordechai. And Esther was a faithful student of Mordechai. Va'af hi ne'aracha l'pol shelo b'derach ha'teva. And she believed and she listened to him. Va'tilbash Esther malchus v'tamod b'chatzar beis ha'melech. So she went and she got prepared to go before the king. And says the Gemara in Megillah, big day malchus. It doesn't she put on the clothing of malchus. It says she put on malchus. What does that mean she put on malchus? Malchus is not... it's not a thing. How do you put that on? Melamed shelav shasa ruach hakodesh. What it means is that she was enveloped in ruach hakodesh. She had a nevuah at that time. Umemela kol diburish el hamelech hayu be'etzim diburim el malchus she'olam el Hashem yisbarach. And therefore, explain Chazal, that conversation, when Esther goes in to talk to Achashverosh about please come to the party and I really want you to come and I want to talk to you and please help us, that was not really directly talking to Achashverosh. Really, Esther was in a trance. She was somewhere else, and she was talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the minig on Purim, in many communities, to say Tehillim Chaf Beis, chapter 22 of Tehillim, which is the parak of Ayelas HaShachar, which is a beautiful parak of Tehillim, and it certainly reflects the time that we find ourselves in right now. And Chazal understand that is all a conversation with Hashem. Keli Kela Lama Zavtani, why have you abandoned me? And she goes in to talk to Hashem in the most intimate and special way about Hashem. You are going to bring the Yeshua. You are the one who's going to help us. V'achashverosh chashav, she medaberes elav. And Achashverosh thought that she was talking to him. Aval hi panse v'aspel Hashem esparach. But really, she was talking to Hashem. She lo achashverosh v'haman heim kovim esagzera. Ela hakol nova miritzoni esparach. Because Esther understood that it was not Achashverosh and it was not Haman that was going to bring this decree or going to stop this decree on the Jewish people, but it would rather was all from Hashem. And therefore, our first address during times of stress and distress is to turn towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is our first address. And when he comes before the king and he says, what do you want up to half the kingdom? I'll give you. Why did she not ask right there on the spot by the first suda, could you please stop this? Haman is not such a good guy. Maybe if you could, perhaps you could find place in your heart. You might want to stop Haman. That would be really wonderful. Perhaps we could work on this. No, that's not what she does. Why doesn't she ask this? Says the Vilna Gaon, Lekach dochsa ad lamachar, ki shema teida davar shemizei yivada, shegam min hashamayim hiskimu kmo sheya. because she pushed it to tomorrow because she wanted a sign from heaven that she was doing the right thing. She wanted a siman. She wanted some recognition from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, some sign in this world that she was doing the right thing, that Hashem should tell her that she's going on the right path in her request. Tehainu. Esther yada she'ashua lo tovah l'idei hishtatlus. Esther knows that the salvation does not come because of our efforts. Ela ach v'rach me'Hashem Yisbarach avado, only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'itzivsa l'siman, she awaited a sign, min ha'shamayim, from the heavens, she'yora al ha'yeshua, and therefore she said, let's wait till tomorrow. Hopefully tomorrow something will happen, and I will receive a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are doing the right thing in asking for this salvation. The derech hateva, in the way of natural course of order, af pigisha im adam pashut yesh l'ta'am marosh. Even when you're meeting with simple people, generally, we don't go to the king without assigning, you don't walk into a person, you don't walk into the doctor's office without an appointment. You don't walk into your friend's house for Shabbos meal without getting invited. I mean, some people do, but most people don't go without being invited. So what's going on over here without a meeting? She puts herself in danger to come without permission. Even though her neck was on the line, literally, she had a chutzpah. And the king's scepter magically, miraculously comes out and allows her to come in. After this chutzpah, what does she want? To come to a party? Can you imagine? I want you to keep in mind for a moment. Let's analyze Ahasuerus for a second. His first wife doesn't come to the party he invites her to, even though, according to Chazal, they already schemed that she was going to come to this party to cause trouble. But the reason she didn't come is because she had a tail or she had bad acne. She decides not to come. And what's his immediate reaction? Off with her head. That's his reaction. This little Esther is bothering him so much. She won't tell him where she's from. She won't reveal what her nation is. And she keeps on pushing him off for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And she says, oh, please, I'm coming without permission. And, oh, by the way, what's the very pressing need? Can you please come to my party tomorrow? The man is insane. He's out of his mind. And the first wife he kills on the spot. And this woman, he doesn't do anything to. It's all a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all Yad Hashem. It doesn't make any sense. But Esther was working on a level that was beyond human beings. She understood that the difficult situation that Klal Yisrael were in was all from heaven. And if we were put in this situation by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it means the only one who can take us out of this situation is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's come now towards the end of the piece over here. And he says, Kol od lo ra'asa os mishamayim. As long as Esther would not have seen a sign from heaven, lo biksha es guf ha'yeshua, she would not have really asked for a salvation. Ach l'macharat kabar ra'asa siman. But the next day, she did see a sign. Mordechai rachob al sus b'rachob a'ir. What was the greatest sign Esther could have seen that she was going in the right direction? Mordechai hatzadik, being schlepped around on a horse through the city of Shushan by the greatest aggressor of the Jewish people. Could there have been a greater sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that she was on the right path and she was doing the right thing? That was a sign that the salvation was at hand. Simon Kazesh, Afilu Zeresh Chachmei Haman, even Zeresh, the lovely wife of Haman, and his advisors, Hevinu Oso Va'amru, Imizera Hayehud and Mordechai Asher Hachelos Lin Palafanav, Lotuchalo, Kinafalti Palafanav. If things have already started to turn around for the Jewish people, you're done. You're a dead man walking, Haman. The Yeshua, the salvation is on their way. Imizera Yehud and Mordechai Asher Chalos, sorry, Kisharasa Sheshua Himibilti Tibis, when she saw that the salvation was not something that was in this world, it was otherworldly. Then the next day, when she goes back to Ahasuerus, she sees that the tides have begun to turn, that Hashem has begun to turn the hourglass in the other direction. So now Esther can go to Ahasuerus and say, I see that Hashem is pleased with our efforts, our tefillos, our tshuva. Now I can ask Ahasuerus, please stop what Haman is doing. But again, Esther is living in two worlds. She's living in the physical world of being at the party with Ahasuerus, but she's also living on a plane where she's talking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So when Esther says to Ahasuerus, Nafshi b'shelasi v'ami b'bakashasi, that I'm asking with my heart and soul, please help my people, who's she really talking to? She's really talking to Hashem, because she knows that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo ma'achashverosh, ela p'niyas l'melech ha'isa be'etzim tefila Hashem Yisbarach. When she tells Achashverosh, please have rachmanos on my children, please have rachmanos on the Jewish people, she's actually asking Hashem, with just Achashverosh being in the room. That's what's happening at that time. As the Vilna Gaon writes, v'da she'b'chol ha'tzadikim heim haya darcham, k'shiyadabru dvarim l'fnei ha'melech, hayalibam u'machshivasam davuk l'kadosh baruch v'yisbarach, v'chein hayakan etzal Esther shalibah haya l'kadosh baruch. Says the Vilna Gaon, when a tzaddik goes to the president, when a tzaddik goes to the senator, when a tzaddik goes to the leader of a country and says, please, please help us, we need help, who is the tzaddik really talking to? He's talking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's how you lobby Congress. That's how you go and run a political event. You're not actually talking to the human being in front of you, from the congresswoman from someplace in Minnesota. You're talking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the hishtablus. You have the person in front of the human being, but really it's a plea to Hashem. Hashem, please intervene and please help your children. That's how a person goes before a king. Mutar v'roi la'adun l'shtadel, says Rabbi Chaim Friedland. And this is all your question. But what about hishtadlus? What about regular, normal hishtadlus, writing letters and doing what we're supposed to be doing in rallies and protests and things like that? Says Rabbi Friedlander, mutar v'roi la'adun l'shtadel. Of course you put in the effort in this world. Ach me'achar b'yeshua hi ach v'rak b'idei Hashem Yisbarach. But if you truly believed that the salvation comes only through the hands of Hashem, v'eina totzas hishtadlus, and it's not a direct result of hishtablus. Rather, we do hishtablus. We do what we need to do in this world. But Hashem will cause whatever needs to be done in His own maze, in His own path. Umbiladei Asher Misparach Ha'am Yisrael Hu B'matzam Shel Ein Onim. Without Hashem, we are in an unanswerable situation. Im Kein Ha'ishtablus Rutsuyo Rak Kasher HaMishtadel Yodea B'biur Shirak Ritzono Shel Hashem Yisrach Rias Yeshua. Our hishtablus, our efforts, our raising of money, whatever it may be, is only effective if you know that Hashem is the one who's going to bring that about, who's going to bring that salvation after it is done. And there is no direct correlation between my physical efforts and Hashem saving me. I engage in my physical efforts because I need to do something. I have to do whatever I can in this world. But Hashem will bring the salvation in any way He wants. You do what you have to do, as we tell the children, do your best, and Hashem takes care of the rest. That's what you have to do. You do your best, and Hashem will bring about whatever Yeshua needs to be done. We should do Hishtadlus, but the Yeshua only comes through a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We find this as well in a beautiful Medrash. I didn't bring the Medrash for you, but it's a Medrash in Parshas Tanchuma. It says, we say in Psukah Dezimra every morning, in the Halukos, we say, Ashrei Shekel Yaakov Be'ezro. Praiseworthy is the one that the God of Jacob, the God of Yaakov, is there to assist him. Ask the Mefarshim there in Tehillim. Why is only praiseworthy one who turns to the God of Yaakov? Why is the one who turns to the God of Yitzchak, or Moshe, or Avram, or Yosef? Why is it that it's the God of Yaakov that we talk about? Because the context of Tehillim Kuf Mem Vav 146 is about the Inyan of Bitachon. That's what it's about. That you shouldn't put your bitachon in false things. We only put our trust in Hashem. That's the context. And the Ksav Sofer says that Yaakov Avinu is different from all of the other Avos. All the other Avos relied, had miracles in their life. They all saw miraculous things. Yaakov did not live his life necessarily in a miraculous way. Yaakov lived his life with hishtadlus. he got a job, and he worked for his father-in-law for 20 years, right? And his children got into trouble, and he got them out of trouble. Yaakov's life is one hishtadlus after another. One difficulty and trying to get himself out of that difficult situation. That's most of his life. So says the Ksav Sofer, Yaakov lived his life with complete bitachon in Hashem. And whenever Yaakov Avinu did his shtadlus, he did what he had to do, he did his physical efforts, but he knew it was only from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore we tell Hashem, we ask Hashem, or we say to ourselves, Ashrei Shekel Yaakov Bezro, praise is the one who is the God of Yaakov. Because we go to work, and we get up in the morning, and we go to the gym, and we take care of ourselves, and we eat healthy, and we do what we're supposed to do. But when we do our physical hishtadlus in this world, it's knowing that Hashem is behind every single step. And that's what it means to live with bitachon. And that's what it means to live with the understanding that the Yeshua and the salvation ultimately comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rabbi Friedlander, Gam Yeshua Hashem Shebetzias Mitzrayim. Now let's connect it to Pesach. We all know, without question, that the Yeshua of Hashem, the salvation, the saving of Hashem, comes by Pesach as well, by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Afi Yeshua Hashem Shebeneis Purim. And it's similar to the salvation of Hashem by the miracle of Purim. Muvlad ba yisod zeh. They all have the same foundational point. HaYeshua hi rak ade Hashem yisvarach, belo sheish ba shaychus lemishu bilto, af velo malach. Umeachar shemitoch eser hamakos nikeres yad Hashem beyoser, bemakos bechoros alkein HaYeshua bapol ba dafka de makazu. Anybody who had a brain in between their ears in Egypt understood that Hashem was calling the shots, right? There was no suffix by the end of that year of the 10 Makos and Makos Bechoros and the splitting of the sea. There was never a doubt in an Egyptian's mind, there was never a doubt in a Jew's mind that Hashem was the one who was running the floor and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge in every single aspect. What did Moshe do? He lifted up his hands, and then what? Magical hail fell from the sky? That's crazy. That's nuts. It was clearly all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was never a doubt for one moment that Hashem was running the show. It was all Yad Hashem. Purim is about the appearance of Hishtadlus, but the understanding that Hashem is the Poel Yeshuos, that Hashem is the one who brings about what we need in life. The events of Yetzias Yitzrayim are the same thing. It's the same thing. Because when you go from Purim and you go to Pesach, a Jew needs to understand that it's all Hashem. A person goes through Purim and says, a miraculous story, Mordechai and Esther were amazing, they did fantastical stuff, we thank them, you know, Shalom Yisrael. And you go to Pesach and say, well, what did Moshe do? Moshe's not even mentioned in the Haggadah. That's how dominant Hashem is. There's one mention offhand to Moshe, kind of like in a backhanded way, but the Haggadah is all Hashem, Pesach is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a person looks at Purim, looks at Pesach and says, I understand. It's all the same thing. Just like Hashem was clearly obvious in the events of the Haggadah and the events of Pesach, so too a Jew understands that Hashem is clearly obvious in the events of Purim, and that all of the salvation, all of the saving comes through the hand of Hashem. And that's why Rashi links Purim and Pesach in the Simcha of this time period. The rejoicing of this time period, as we dance from Purim to Pesach, is the understanding that no matter what it seems like, whether it's an obvious open miracle that we can all see with our own two eyes, or whether it's hidden beneath the surface, it's all from Hashem. And that's the bridge that connects Purim to Pesach. Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. We rejoice during this time period because as we go from Purim to Pesach, we rejoice in the fact that we know that it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why would we not rejoice? We know that it's all in the hands of Hashem and that through our davening and through our Torah and our tefillah and our tshuva, Hashem will do whatever we need. And that's something to rejoice about. That's a simcha that we can be happy about during this time period. Let's look at the last lines from Rabbi Friedlander and we'll try to draw it together. The Sifri writes in Dvarim, Beparshas Kisavo, Doresh, it says, V'yotzienu Hashem lo edei malach, lo edei saraf, lo edei shaliach. It says, we say in the Haggadah as well, that Hashem took us out, not with an angel, not with a fiery angel, not with a messenger. V'yavarti beretz Mitzrayim belayla zeh. V'yikesi, I went through Mitzrayim, anivalo malach, v'yikesi ko b'chor, I killed every firstborn, anivalo saraf, me and not a fiery angel. U'b'chol elokei Mitzrayim Elohim Mitzrayim aseh shvatim, I destroyed all the gods of Egypt. Anivalo shaliach, ani Hashem. Shum koach bebriya lo shatef him HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'otsav b'Mitzrayim. Not a single other entity in the world helped Hashem take us out of Egypt. Elohu levado ukedivrei chazal. Ani Hashem, ani hu b'lo acher. Ka'amur, ha'akara sha'yeshua hi b'ladis l'shem isbarach, hi ha'meshutaf b'purim b'pesach. The understanding of a Jew that it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is the one who does everything, and we have a very, very minor role in that process of what's going to happen. That is the link, that is the bridge that takes us from Purim all the way to Pesach. The line between Bitachon and Hishtablus is probably the most difficult of questions that we have in Yiddishkeit. Where does a person know when they're doing too much Hishtablus or they don't have enough Bitachon? And you look in different Svarim and nobody seems to say. Rav Asher Weiss in the Sefer Emunah Bitachon says, I can't answer the question. Because it depends on each person, depends on each time. Some people need to work 50 hours a week and make a parnasa. Some people need to work 60 hours a week. Some people need to work 20 hours a week to make a living. Each person is different. There's no single measurement that I can give you that's going to say, if you work this many hours and you spend this much time with your children, everything will turn out okay. Nobody can answer that question for you. It depends on each person. But I will give us perhaps two guidelines that can help us balancing where Hishtablus perhaps can end and where Bitachon comes into the picture. The first thing is that when a person is faced with an uncomfortable choice to cut corners, should I pay this? The person might not know about it. It's okay if I put this addition on the house and I don't, you know, give a C, you know, a C of R and there's an extra bathroom, no one's going to find out. And if I, when we start to cut corners in life, and if you really believe that everything is the hand of Hashem, would you ever consider at that moment to do something that was not on the books? Would you ever consider for a moment to do something that's not 100% honest? This is where Bitachon comes into play. That's one place in life. Hishtadlus versus Bitachon. If your hishtadlus means that you're going to cut corners and do things that are not 100% honest, then you need to know that Hashem is in charge, and you're never going to suffer for doing the honest and the right thing. But one that's more practical and more relevant is that rational hishtadlus is 100% appropriate. The problem in life is when a person grasps at straws. When a person says, well, one more doctor, and another doctor, and one more opinion, and I have to look at one more expert, and I have to go to one more place, and one more phone call. And you get to a point in life where they say, there's really nothing else to do. You've done your reasonable effort. And now you're just grasping and hoping and thrashing around, hoping that something's going to work. So in that place is probably somewhere the very murky gray line of Hishtadlus versus Bitachon. And a person needs to know, I did what is the norm. Let's say, for example, a person who works in a certain field, what's the norm in that field that people go to work? How many hours do they go to work for? If that's the norm, so that's the way a person should conduct themselves. And a person needs to know that every action outside of normal Hishtadlus, any action outside of normal human intervention, is crossing over the line from Hishtadlus into the realm of Bitachon. Desperation, being hysterical, turns into a lack of Bitachon. And that's something important that we all need to keep in mind at all times. Now, often when things happen, there are tsaros, there are difficulties, first we organize to speak with the politicians, first we have a rally going, first we take us, and then next week we'll work on the Tehillim, next week we'll work on the Torah and things like that. But Mordechai and Esther are telling us it's the opposite. The first place we turn to during difficult times is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The first place is the Sefer Tehillim. The first place is the Torah learning. The first place is the Cheshvan Nefesh. And then the other Hishtadlus comes afterwards. Bitachon first, and then that Hishtadlus. I'll tell you one of my favorite Hasidic stories, because it's the least Hasidic story that you can find out there. The Rebbe of Tolna was Rav David of Tolna. And Rav David of Tolna had a brother, Rav Yochanan of Rach Mestrivka. Rach Mestrivka is a Hasidus that exists nowadays, and Tolna is a Hasidus that exists nowadays. They were both brothers, different courts of Hasidus. So one day, Rav Yochanan of Rach Mestrivka came to his brother, Rav David of Tolna, and he said, Rav David, how are you so successful in your Hasidus? People come to you, you do miracles, people come with illnesses and sicknesses, and people come with money problems and issues with politics and issues with the government, and they come to you and they walk away, and 2 weeks later, all the problems are solved. How do you do it? What's your secret? What are you daven for? What are you saying to him? What deep Kabbalistic intentions do you have? How do you take kvitlach? Please tell me something. What's your secret? So Rav David turned to Rav Yochanan and he said, be honest with you, It's not really me. What do you mean it's not you? People come to me. Sometimes my bracha works, sometimes it doesn't work. They come to you, it seems to be money in the bank every single time. So he said, I'll tell you the truth. When people come to visit you, they come to you. They come into your shul, they come into your beis medrash. There's a nice coffee urn set up. Maybe there's some pastries on the side. There's a gabe there who takes care of them. Make sure they have a place to sit. They wait in line. It's very benachas. It's very comfortable. And you come. Eventually, you get called into the room with you for yechidus with the Rebbe. And then you sit with them. You hold your hand. And they pour out their heart. And you tell them it'll be okay. And you give them some advice. And you schmooze 3, 4, 5, 10 minutes, a half hour. And the person feels incredible. And they walk out of you. They feel so uplifted. And they feel they went to a Rebbe. They went to a real Rebbe. And they feel inspired. I'll tell you what happens when people come to my court. You can't get an appointment by me for 6 months. There's no time, there's no space. And you come in to see me, you come into the waiting room, there's a lady there with two chickens that need to be checked for kashrus, and there's a baby crying in the corner, and there's an old person there who maybe hasn't showered in a long time, doesn't smell so great, and the room is a bit hefker, and it's a bit crazy. And imagine, this person's come to me, he needs help with the parnassa or something, and he's sitting there, the room's uncomfortable, it's not pleasant to sit. And the gabbai comes and says, you have 2 minutes by the Rebbe. That's it. 2 minutes, then you're out. And the guy's shaking. 2 minutes, what am I going to do? And the gabbai, finally your turn comes, and he grabs you by the arm, and he says, you have 2 minutes in the room. That's it. And he throws you into the room. And you're so shaken, and you're so stammering, you don't know what to do. And then finally, you open your mouth, and finally, 60 seconds in, the gabbai knocks again. 1 minute left. 1 minute left at the Rebbe. And you can say, I don't know what to do. And you can't even open your mouth. And by the time the 2 minutes are up, the gabbai says, time's up. He comes in, grabs your arm, sends you out the other door. Shal na Yisrael. When people come to me, you know what they realize? There's nobody else besides the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's nobody else besides, the Rebbe's not going to save you. And this Rebbe's not going to save you. It's just the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When they come to me, they walk out thinking, he's not going to help me. There's only Hashem. And their davening becomes that much greater. They understand that all the yeshuas, all the saving is going to come from Hashem and not from a Rebbe somewhere. And that's why when people come to me, they're more effective because they daven for themselves because I'm not the one who's going to help them. They understand it's only Kadosh Baruch Hu at the end of the day. Reb Chaim Volozhin writes in his Nefesh HaChaim about the concept of Ein Od Milvado. There's no one else besides Hashem. He writes about this at length in the third shar, in the third section of the Nefesh HaChaim. And Reb Chaim Volozhin says that in times of trouble, you should internalize the notion that any problem that you have only came because of Kadosh Baruch Hu willed it. And if Hashem wills it, that it should go away, then it will go away at that very instant. And this technique, Reb Chaim taught, is a powerful tool to overcome any trouble or crisis. He calls this a segula gedola. Reb Chaim Volozhin is not so into segulas. But he says that if a person really, 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 honestly believed at that moment in time that it was truly Eino Milvado, and it was nobody else, then Hashem would come and save that person at that time. It means not only that the outcome depends only on Hashem, it means that no one and nothing, no matter how powerful or invincible they may seem, has any power over us. Because nothing else besides Hashem. Ein od milvado. There's nothing else besides your Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's no power, there's no government, there's no physician, there's no boss that has power over you besides the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The lion charging at us is only the expression of the Ratzon Hashem. It means that no matter how insurmountable the challenge may seem, if Hashem wants us to overcome it, we will overcome it. But in truth, there's no challenge, and nothing exists besides Hashem. Ein od milvado. And he cites the famous Gemara in Chulin of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and other places, his daughter lit Shabbos candles with vinegar by mistake, right? And Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa told his daughter, me, the one who allows oil to light, can also light have the vinegar light over Shabbos. And the candles lit all over Shabbos. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa lived on the level of Ein Od Milvado. There was literally nobody else besides Hashem. So if Hashem wants vinegar to burn, then it will burn for 24 hours. But we have to get to that place. I'm not saying it's an easy thing. But that's what Reb Chaim Friedlander is saying. That Mordechai and Esther and the Jews in Mitzrayim both understood Ein Od Milvado. The Jews in Mitzrayim were slapped in the face with it. They couldn't ignore it. It was so clear. But even Mordechai and Esther, during that political maelstrom, understood Ein Od Milvado. The only Yeshua is going to come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Reb Chaim Volozhin had a son, Reb Yitzchak Volozhin. Rav Yitzchak Volozhin's son-in-law was Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi's son was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the great Rosh Yeshiva. And Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's, one of his sons, was Rav Yitzchak Zev, the Brisker Rav. During the Holocaust, the Brisker Rav and some of his children fled. They eventually would make their way to Eretz Yisrael. His wife and the remainder of his children, unfortunately, did not make it out. When the Brisker Rav was on a train trying to escape the Nazis, he told his children that I have a Kabbalah from our Zaydi, Rav Chaim of Volozhin, that if you think and you meditate on the words, Eino Milvado, and you truly believe them, then Hashem will save you. And the story is told that the Nazi guards were walking up and down the train, checking passports, looking for people, and they did not stop the Brisker Rav and his children once as they were thinking and meditating. And then, eventually, the Nazi guards went away, and they relaxed. And 2 minutes after they relaxed, they came in and they checked their papers. Eventually, they were able to escape. But said the Brisker Rav, it happened because I stopped thinking about that idea, Eino Milvado. I had a Hesech Hadas, I broke in my concentration, and I forgot about the importance of that idea. The Pasuk says in Parshas Kisetzi about going to war, V'yamar aleihem Shema Yisrael atem kreivim hayom lemilchama, you're coming today to war, aleveichem against your enemies, al yerech levavchem, your heart should not be soft, al tiru v'al techbezu, don't be afraid, v'al taritzu b'fneihem, ki Hashem elokeichem aleichem achem, yilachem lachem v'vaychem l'shi aschem, because Hashem is the one who's going to fight for you. And Rechaim Shulavitz explains that the only realization that Hashem alone can save us can prevent fear. The American government is clearly not going to save us anymore. And the other governments of the world are not going to save us. As the noose gets tighter and tighter, and we feel more and more alone, the instinctive reaction must be Ein Od Milvado. It's only going to come through Hashem. And the more we take our burden, and we realize that the miracles of Purim are just like the miracles of Mitzrayim, that they only come through a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's going to be better for Klal Yisrael. The more we understand that the Yeshua only comes from Hashem, and perhaps one could say that perhaps Hashem is allowing the noose to tighten, because maybe He wants us to turn back to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not a Navi. I can't say such a thing. But as it gets more and more difficult, we have to think, where else are we turning to besides Hashem? And to direct our efforts and our Torah and our Tefillah and our Tshuva only towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu and nobody else. The Gemara says in Megillah, Kol Omer Davar B'Shem Omro Mevi Gula Olam. Whoever cites their sources brings the redemption to the world. How do we know? What's the proof? Because Esther quoted Mordechai about Big Son and Seresh to Achashverosh, and because she cited her source, that Mordechai was the one who brought about Achashverosh being saved, that eventually brought the Geula to the Jewish people. That brought about the redemption. It's not a lesson necessarily in plagiarism, which is a different schmooze. But here, the point is important for us to understand. Explains the Maharal, why is it that if I quote my sources, Kol Omer Davar B'Shem Omro, Mevi Geula Olam, because only a person who gives credit to what he knows, Omer Davar B'Shem Omro, he'll give credit to the source, not any source, but the source. Whoever credits Kol Omer B'Shem Omro, the one who created the world, whoever credits the things in the life only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mevi Geula Olam. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will feel that if you are ready to recognize that I am running the world and that I am the one behind everything, then Hashem will say, I'm ready to bring the Geula and to get this party rolling. The Radal, Rav David Luria, writes in his Perush and Pirkei Eliezer that when it says the word Na'akas, the Bnei Yisrael cried out by the Geula of Mitzrayim, the crying out of Bnei Yisrael, is also found when Bnei Yisrael cry out at the end of days. And therefore, says Pirkei Eliezer, says the Radal, when we come to a clear understanding that Hashem is the only Eitzah, and Hashem is the only place to turn to, that our Na'aka, just like by Mitzrayim, it was clear that it was only Hashem who was going to save us at Yam Suf, then it will be at the end that our Na'aka, our crying out, in the end of days will also lead to a complete Gula, and will bring a miracle way beyond what we can imagine by Purim, and way beyond what we can imagine by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Thank you.